Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. As always, we're so glad that you're here. Thanks so much for checking in. We've got a great trip report to kick off the week, as always. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. This is the home of two great books for the Disney fan in your life. And let's face it, you're probably the biggest Disney fan you know, but there are probably those around you that are Disney fans as well. And the great part about The Wisdom of Walt and the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, by author Jeff Barnes, is that they give some history on Walt Disney and talk about him chasing his dreams, building Disneyland, wanting to make it bigger down in Florida with Walt Disney World and especially Epcot. But it also is a book where it gets you fired up for life. It helps you reflect on your relationships with those around you, like friends, coworkers, family. It's a great book just to help you improve every day on everything that you do. So check out these two great books. They're in all kinds of versions, audio, ebook, and of course, hard copy and soft cover. And they're available right now over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. That's the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the price of a counter service meal over at Cosmic Rays, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out. Let them know you heard about them here over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1306 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hopefully you are having a great last week of March. March has been crazy here in the States. I know the weather has been nuts. And East Coast and some of the Mid-South there, Tennessee Valley, digging out from some snow and severe weather. So let's hope it goes out like a lion. We get into April, things will calm down. It'll actually be spring and nice weather here in the States here soon. So let's cross our fingers. But no better way to start a week here than with a trip report. And we're going to head down to Louisville, Kentucky and speak with Caroline. Caroline, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Really excited.
Great to have you on the show. And we were talking before we started recording that you have a lot of experience with cheerleading, which is very cool because my daughter is obsessed with cheerleading. She is a competitive cheerleader at age 10, and I didn't realize that stuff was more intense than like select soccer and select baseball that I played, but it's quite the journey, so that's very cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a hard sport.
It is definitely a sport, and it takes athletes. I've definitely learned that over the years. All right, so let's talk about this recent trip you took, and today we're lucky because your trip just happened just a few weeks back, so let us know who traveled, when you went, and where you stayed.
All right, so we traveled February 28th through March 7th, and the weather was incredible, like the perfect temperature all the way through, and we didn't get a drop of rain, which has never happened to us before. It was me, my five-year-old daughter, my two-year-old daughter, my mom, and my dad, who is disabled.
Awesome. So,
we stayed at the beach club.
Oh, stayed at the beach club. Very nice. So, I know that you travel to Walt Disney World quite often. We talked about that also before we started recording, but was there a reason to celebrate or to go down for this trip, or was it just, hey, we got a chance? Let's go down to the warm weather. It's a good time to go.
It was actually my 30th birthday. So, we picked the beach club. That's kind of my dream hotel to stay at. We usually stay value resorts because we go very often, but we chose to stay at the beach club this time to celebrate my 30th birthday.
All right, well, let's talk about that. That's a good place to start because I stayed there over marathon weekend and really enjoyed my time there. As a matter of fact, when we go back for the 4th of July, I just booked the trip last week. We're staying at Yacht Club because too many years I've been caught at Epcot on the July 4th, and I'm begging people for a ride back to the hotel so I don't have to fight the buses and Uber and all that. So this year we're doing it right. We're just going to walk right out and head into Yacht Club. So what were your thoughts typically coming from a value over to Beach Club?
It was really incredible. We loved the location, the walking distance. right over to Epcot. And really the selling point for us was the pool. So we were most excited about Stormalong Bay, and we spent our first 2 days from wake up until dinner time at the pool.
And you know what? A lot of folks are just, you know, you have discipline. Let me just say, and it's not hard to stay at Stormalong Bay because we've spent a day there ourselves. We stayed at Beach Club one night, actually, years and years ago at the end of a trip as like a celebration. We splurged. We got a club level room for one night after staying the entire vacation at Pop Century. And that's what we did. We stayed at Stormalong Bay the whole day. But I mean, there's a temptation there to be like, oh, I'm missing something in the parks. I should go to Magic Kingdom. I should go to Epcot. I should do something. But it sounds like you don't regret that decision of spending the 2 days there because Stormalong Bay is such a destination.
I don't regret it at all, but it is totally not me. I am a rope drop to fireworks kind of person. So it took a lot of preparation, and I had to make our schedule well in advance and then emotionally prepare myself to not be at the park all day.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that I get antsy. You know, I love resort days. Don't get me wrong, especially as I get, and I'm not old, but as I get older and I've seen more of Walt Disney World, I've done things many, many times, that a resort day sounds very, very attractive to me. However, when I see people, you know, hustling out to a bus or coming back with balloons and souvenirs, I feel like, you know, should I be at the park? But then when I get to the park a lot of times and I'm standing in like a 30-minute queue for Space Mountain, I'm like, you know, I could be enjoying myself and relaxing and actually being on vacation by the pool back at the hotel. So I think it's one of those things that's, you just got to prepare yourself for the decision that you make and then enjoy that time. Because, you know, like you said, where else are you going to have a place like Stormalong Bay?
Yeah, we definitely prepared ourselves and it worked out really well. We ended up doing the parks pretty hard at the tail end of our trip. So having those first days at the pool made it much easier to spend. I didn't get that feeling like you did in Space Mountain Line. like, oh, I wish I was at the pool, because we had already done it for so long.
That's a good call. Now, any tips for the kids? Because they were younger. And Stormalong Bay, if you've never been there at a beach and yacht, it's almost like a mini water park. It's got a cool water slide. It's got like a lazy river hot tub kind of area. It's sand bottomed. It's deep in parts. Actually, that surprised me the first time we stayed there, was how deep this pool gets in some points. Any tips for somebody who's going for the first time this summer and they have little kids? Because it takes more than just your typical kiddie pool.
Yeah, we really enjoyed the sand area. My kids were both wearing their puddle jumpers, so they felt pretty confident in the water. And the sand area is pretty shallow. So there was just one area where my two-year-old couldn't touch, and I kind of guide her along, but the middle is real tall with sand, and they loved that probably the most of the whole pool.
Good tip. Good tip. Did the kids enjoy those poolside activities that the recreation crew typically do, you know, throughout the day?
Yeah, they did. There was, they had balls in the pool. You had to go and dive for different things. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so let's talk about the resort itself outside the pool. Did you find your room was acceptable? Was there anything that you would ask to be improved upon? What did you think about the hotel aspect of Beach Club?
We loved the hotel. We loved the way it smelt. We thought that was awesome. we ate at Cape May, which was great. We did the breakfast there for the characters, of course. We loved it. We were really, really happy.
Awesome. Get me excited for Yacht Club because it's kind of the sister resort there. You know, they're pretty much the same thing. It's just a little further from the pool, but hey, what's it? You know, I got a good deal, so that's what I'm doing. All right, so let's talk about going into the park. So we don't have to go sequentially throughout the trip, but, you know, it's been about a month now. So what are some of the memories that stick out as far as park time and times you got to spend with your parents, your kids, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we tried some new restaurants. One of the nights, after we spent at Stormalong Bay, we went over to Epcot and tried Teppan Edo.
Nice.
And we were really pleased. It was my kids' first experience with hibachi, and it was probably the best hibachi I've been to. So that was really cool. I would say it's kind of crowded in there. It's hard to get up or get around the tables. But overall, it was a really great atmosphere. My daughter has a shellfish allergy, and they handled that really well. They cooked all of the chicken and the steak first and then waited till the very end to put any seafood on the grill. So that was really good.
That's interesting. When you said that, I'm thinking, how would they handle that? Because it's kind of communal, typically how they make everything and just kind of parcel it out. But yeah, that makes sense. Do that first and then there's no cross-contamination. Now, one of the things I like about Teppan Edo is that, and I'm sure your kids enjoyed this, that It's hard for kids to sit through a meal, especially at that age. I remember Mallory and even Paige back then. It was really hard for them to sit through a meal. But I mean, like, it's very easy at a place like Tepanito where there's entertainment the whole time. And you're getting, also, you're eating as you go. You're not waiting for like 30 minutes for your meal to come out. You're getting a little here, a little there. So it sounds like that worked out well with kids.
Yeah, that was the best part, that they started kind of small. They got their salad. And then the show's kind of going on in front of them, and they're constantly giving them something else to eat while they're being entertained the whole time. And we had an 8:10 reservation with a 9 o'clock park closing time. So we were there well after the park closed. And then as we were walking back from the restaurant to Beach Club, we got some super awesome pictures with nobody else in the park.
Oh, I'm totally doing that this summer. I love, that's my favorite time, you know, just to be there after the parks close and to see things without a million people in the way. Not the girls, the kids held up well that late at night. I mean, because I know that it gets rough down there the later it gets for kids.
Yeah, we took a nap right after we went swimming, so we prepared well for the late night.
Good call. All right, so now another thing you mentioned before we start recording is that you guys went to Trattoria El Forno, and that place is getting rave reviews. So do you agree? Was it a good experience?
Yes, I 100% agree with the rave reviews. It was incredible. The character interactions were fantastic. The food was great. We had the steak and egg dish. It was kind of like an egg casserole thing. It was incredible. We loved the pastries, and they even put a little gift shop kind of out in the lobby area so my girls could get their Pascal stuffed animal when it was all over.
That's a great, oh, Disney and their gift shops or their merchandise opportunities, I guess we could say. But yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's why you're there. And the character interaction was good. You enjoyed that just as much as any other character meal?
Yeah, we did. So we made sure we dressed for the occasion. They were wearing their Rapunzel outfits. So that helped kind of start the good conversation between the characters. It was really great.
Good tip. All right, walk us through some of the other highlights from the trip. What else did you guys do?
All right, well, we did the Disney After Hours. We were pass holders, so we got the discount, which kind of justified the price of it. My two-year-old is still free, so we kind of divided it between the five of us to say, okay, this really isn't as expensive as it seems. But we arrived at 6:30, where everything I read said the park or the turnstile opens at 7 for the entrance to that event. When we arrived at 6:30, they were already letting people through.
Nice.
So we were pretty excited about that. And we had scheduled some fast passes for kind of the left-hand side of the park. So we did Big Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, and Jungle Cruise because we didn't really want to go that far into the park during the after hours. We wanted to do some attractions that were closer together to kind of make better use of our time. And that worked out super good. So we finished up Jungle Cruise, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, had a quick bite at Pecos Bill's, and then started our after hours.
So remind me how the mechanics of that work. Did you get a wristband upon entering the park, kind of like you would with a Halloween or Christmas party? No, you guys got lanyards, right? Is that, I remember the pictures.
Yeah, we got a super cool lanyard, and our baby got one that said after hours under 3 pass, which we thought was really cool that they didn't leave her out.
That's really cool. That's a good touch because, I mean, they're making enough off everybody else. The baby can get a lanyard. I like that.
Yeah, and she's big enough to know that she doesn't have one. So if her sister had one and she didn't, she'd be devastated.
Oh, see, Disney's getting smart there. They're keeping the parents sane because you're right. The kids would be fighting over that. If one had and one didn't, that's trouble.
Yeah, so it ended up being really great. The wait times were all about 5 minutes long. The longest thing we waited for was the Mine Train, which was 10 minutes.
Seriously? I mean, that is stunning because, you know, the selling point that we used to say with the Christmas party and the Halloween party, which they were announcing, you can actually buy tickets now, they're a little bit earlier this year, is that, you know, years and years ago, you could ride a lot of the attractions with little to no wait, but they sell so many tickets now, that's not so true anymore. There's a lot of long waits at those parties, but it sounds like, I mean, did you feel that they kept the ticket, because the tickets are pricey, so do you feel like they kept them down to acceptable levels where you got to enjoy the party and it felt kind of like a private event?
Yeah, it was shocking how empty it felt. And I kind of panicked because that night before we went, I checked the website and it was sold out for that night. So I was like, oh my goodness, it's not going to be as quiet as we thought it was going to be. But it was amazing. It was like hardly anybody anywhere you looked.
That's awesome. That's good, because the thing is, it's a value add when you make it special for the guests that are attending, because you're paying a premium to do that. But if you sell, you know, 50,000 tickets, it's not as special. So I'm glad that they kind of did protect that. And it sounds like they watched how many tickets they sold. Now, let me ask you about that day, though, because when you're doing even extra magic hours, when we do this in the summertime, you do have to kind of adjust your schedule almost the day before, the day of, and the day after because of staying out so late, especially when you have kids involved. So how did you make that work? Did you schedule maybe a late breakfast the next day and not try to rope drop someplace? Or did you take it easy earlier in the day? How'd that go?
Yep, that's exactly what we did. We had a breakfast reservation at about 10:30 the following day. So we kind of slept in. And then the day of the event, we did a pool day and then went back and all took naps before we went in.
Nice. That's a great call. That way everybody's like, you know, well-rested, fired up. You're going to something special. And I love the idea of, because you need this irregardless. You need to have a sleep-in day at some point on vacation if you're going to be there for more than a few days. Like, unless you're there for just like a weekend, you know, you want to be careful that you don't wear yourself and burn the candle at both ends and get wore out. So, especially with kids. So that sounds like a great way to kind of recover from that late night, you know, have a nice breakfast, a late breakfast, get some sleep. And then how do you progress through that next day?
Well, that next day we kind of took it easy and we went over to Hollywood Studios with the intention of not even doing a full day there. So we go frequently, so we wanted to hit the big stuff.
Nice. So what were some of the highlights from the park? Even though you didn't plan to spend a lot of time there, were there any special memories that you made in that park? I know that it's under construction. It's not at 100% right now, but I still think there's a lot of fun to be had there.
Yeah, we had a really great experience. My 2-year-old's favorite character is Goofy, and we typically see him there. But that particular day, he was there with Max. So that was really awesome. We've never seen that before with the two of them together. We also tried to grab some dinner over at Pizza Rizzo's, and it had closed early. So I don't know if that's a regular thing that they're doing, but just happened to be kind of where we were that day, and it didn't work out for us to go there. So we hopped over to Mama Melrose, and they were able to take us in on a last minute, like we waited 5 minutes probably, and we just had like pizzas and appetizer kind of things, and it was fantastic.
That's good, because actually that's another place we're all eating. Pam, the Foresters, and my good friends, the Gardeners, we're all going to sit down and we have an ADR at Mama Melrose the day that Toy Story Land opens. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, it's going to be a crazy day, but at least we have a place where we can get some food. And I like Mama Melrose. I think it's kind of a hidden gem at the studios and at Walt Disney World in general. And like you said, it kind of bailed you out. You didn't have a chance to eat at Pizza Rizzo, but, you know, this kind of fit the bill. And you probably got to get off your feet and relax for a little bit, too, which always helps.
Yeah, it ended up being something we really enjoyed and weren't really expecting that. So we were pretty happy.
All right. So other highlights from the trip.
Yeah, we went over to Magic Kingdom, kind of a midday time. We slept in again, which is totally against our normal routine, but slept in, went over to Magic Kingdom, and this was a Saturday, and it was packed, like crazy, crazy packed. We were trying to go grab lunch at Pinocchio's. We love to sit in the windows and look over Small World. My kids love to hold up the signs and get people to do the chicken dance and all of those funny things that they do. And we could not even make it there. It was like so crazy crowded that it overwhelmed us, and we were like, let's just go. This is just too much. So we started to head back out of the park and were able to catch a perfect curbside seat for the parade. So we had never sat down and watched the parade before. We feel like it uses up some valuable time that we could be riding. So we really enjoyed that and then left the park and headed over to Wilderness Lodge for lunch at the Roaring Fork.
Nice. And you know what? You sound like you, Ricky could be from your family, because she used to always skip parades because it was time to ride rides and she would sleep in. I know you don't always sleep in, but you did a couple of times on this trip. And that used to be her MO, but not anymore. She kind of gets up and she's actually out there for the races at like 4 a.m. So I cannot dog on her anymore about that stuff. But let me ask you real quick, though, about Festival of Fantasy. I'm guessing that's the parade you caught it, like the afternoon parade. I'm a huge fan of that one. But again, I don't see it as often as I should because we are a family that goes early in the morning. We hop out of the park around lunchtime, go back to the resort, swim, chill, and then go back to a different park at night. That's how we tour in the summers when we have, you know, an extended amount of time. But when I see Festival of Fantasy, that is just a really, really well-done parade, in my opinion. I think they present the characters well. It's got catchy music. The floats are so visual. The dragon's awesome, or Maleficent, whatever it is. I think it's so well done, but the problem is I'm just usually not there mid-afternoons.
Yeah, we loved it. So we had watched it on YouTube before, and that was kind of our excuse for skipping it. Like, oh, we've seen it on YouTube. But we thoroughly enjoyed it. Alice was in it, which is my five-year-old's favorite. She kind of had her little entourage of flowers and things like that dancing around her. And then Dumbo was kind of at the end, which was a neat little surprise.
Nice, nice. All right, so you guys headed over to Roaring Fork. Did that fit the bill for you? Was it what you expected? Because I'm a fan of the Fork. I know it's been renovated, though, since I've been there.
Yeah, it was really good. It was just kind of a last-minute decision because it was close by. We could just ride a boat over there. And we had dinner reservations at Magic Kingdom later, so we didn't want to go too far. And really going to the TTC is a pain in the butt. So we decided to just kind of stay on the Magic Kingdom area. And we loved it. We kind of wandered around the resort and looked at the little geyser squirting. And it was really fun. We had a great afternoon.
And you know what? I think that's another tip just to drop in here for folks that are planning, you know, first, second, third Disney, Walt Disney World vacations is to do just like you did. When you find the Magic Kingdom very crowded and it becomes challenging to find a place to eat and you want to go explore something else, just hop on a boat or hop on the monorail and go to Polynesian or go to the Contemporary, or go to Grand Floridian even, or even Wilderness Lodge via boat. And you can explore those resorts, but not only that, it just gets you out of the madness of the Magic Kingdom, because as magical as it is, in the afternoons, it can be a nut house there. And so a lot of times you can go over to like Captain Cook's at the Polynesian, or like you said, Roaring Fork at Wilderness Lodge, or, you know, what have you. You just grab a bite at Contempo Cafe, or even sit down at a place like Kona if you can walk up and get a table there. But it's intense sometimes being at the Magic Kingdom, especially when the weather's hot. You want to get inside, get off your feet, relax, and then kind of bounce back. Like, you guys went back to the park, but it sounds like it gave you a little bit of like time to breathe in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it was great for our kids. It was a perfect kind of like resetting moment where we were kind of stressed out and overwhelmed in Magic Kingdom. And so we kind of took a step away, and they had some time to be free and have space to run. There was tons of grass areas with nobody in them, and they just kind of had some freedom, which you don't always get in the crowds.
No, you don't. But you know what? I will say one thing about that hub remodel at the Magic Kingdom is that with those, you know, that synthetic grass, it kind of looks like a little park there, you know, out in front of Casey's and throughout the hub, even on the other side of Main Street USA. That's kind of a nice place. I see a lot of kids kind of just, you know, playing tag and running around. I mean, there's not a lot of, you know, spaces at a premium in the Magic Kingdom, but I think that's well done, because kids, especially of your kids' age, you know, they need to get out of the stroller. They need to get up and run and kind of act goofy there and burn off some energy throughout the day.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell us about, you guys went back for dinner at the Magic Kingdom. Were things calm by the time you got back?
Yeah, they were better. We had reservations at Cinderella's Royal Table. And that was our first time eating there. We had a reservation at 8 o'clock with 7:55 fireworks. So that was kind of challenging. We didn't know whether to go to the restaurant beforehand or wait until after the fireworks. So we went pretty early, maybe about 6 o'clock, over to Cinderella's Royal Table to find out what we should do. And they had already started closing off the walkway through the castle. So there was a cast member at the rope there, and she said, you want to be in this area when they close off that area behind the castle where sometimes the embers mm-hmm. fall. They said, you want to be under here. And then the cast member working at Cinderella's Royal Table said, well, you can wait out there kind of by the carousel and watch the fireworks, or you can wait under here. So we kind of took the advice of the cast member holding the rope and waited underneath, and they had told us we would not get to go in until our exact reservation time, which would have been mid-fireworks, and then you kind of have to wait in the queue to meet Cinderella. So we were fully expecting to miss the fireworks. We have seen them before, so that was fine. But we're waiting under there about 7:40, and somebody comes down and says, "Would you like to go now?" And we're like, "Well, yeah, absolutely." So they take us up. Cinderella wasn't there at that moment, so they sent us back down later to meet her. But they took us up. We were seated right about 7:54, and the fireworks started. So we had a window seat in the castle during the fireworks. It was like the most incredible moment of the whole trip. We just, like, I was crying. I was so happy. It was incredible.
Well, it's like you were in the middle of a planning video. I mean, that's what it's about. You know, when they show the commercials to get you to go down, that's what they're showing. You know, hey, the fireworks, everybody's sitting inside the castle in a comfy chair with great food in front of them watching the Magic Kingdom fireworks. No, that is great that it happened that way for you. And actually, this is so weird because just this past Wednesday, we had a question about fireworks and if you're inside Cinderella Castle at the time. And I said, no, you can't really see them. But I was wrong on that, so I want to make sure I correct that. One of our great listeners over on the Facebook page showed a picture of it's actually you, wasn't it? Is that your picture on the Facebook page? Now that I think about it, from today.
Ooh, it could have been.
I was gonna say that was your picture. I was like, who put that? It was you. Yeah. So the picture is stunning. I love the picture. I mean, it's exactly out of like a DVD cover that they would send out with the planning vacation video. I mean, like they just need to put the little. Dreams do come true here, Walt Disney World. Like, you know,
the coolest thing about that, though, is that the cast member holding the rope must have seen that happen before. So she had nothing to do with Cinderella's royal table. She's just blocking people from coming through the castle. And so she gave us the awesome advice. She's like, wait here. So we were really pleased with that. And we went back and did a cast compliment later that night to thank her for that awesome tip.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, so I just want to correct it. You helped me out there because I hadn't been up there in years. And to be honest, we had done, you know, either a breakfast. We weren't there during fireworks time, but I just didn't think it would be a great view. But that picture, I was like, oh, I was so wrong. That's exactly what it's all about. So, yes, you can see the fireworks from inside Cinderella's Royal Table. So what did you think of the meal and the whole experience? Because pricey meal, you know, it's 2 table service credits on the dining plan. It's a signature meal. But, I mean, you're eating in Cinderella Castle. So what did you think?
It was incredible. It is probably one of the only locations I would use 2 table service credits on. I'm pretty thrifty when it comes to my dining plan credits, but and this time we were not on the dining plan, so that's kind of how we justified that. But it was well worth the price.
Awesome. So now I love having you on because I can tell that you know how to do Walt Disney World. You have lots of experience, lots of trips under your belt. So let's hop into planning here for a second because it sounds like you always have a solid plan of what's going to happen. So what strategies do you use to pick out restaurants and to pick out what park you're going to go to what day? What's your general philosophy on how to lay down the plans for a great Walt Disney World vacation?
Oh, well, it just really depends on the hours of the park. Kind of how we pick which park we're going to each day. We try not to do the same park back to back. So we kind of go through like a rotation of which parks we go to. And then we love to try new things. We want to try new restaurants, new experiences every single time we go.
That's a great, great way to go about it. Now, so you try the new restaurants, but do you have any like, you know, for me, there's a couple of places that it's really not a vacation unless I go there, like 50s Primetime Cafe. I go there almost every single trip. I got to have something from Columbia Harbor House. Do you have any favorites that are like, you know, you like to venture out and try new things, but these things, it's not a vacation unless you do this or that or eat here or there or something like that?
Yeah, Hollywood and Vine is our absolute favorite. We love it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So my girls are still little enough that Doc McStuffins is awesome to them. So being able to be in that environment and see the characters that they love just makes it even better. And the food is incredible. We love the food there. And then we're really pleased with all the seasonal options that they offer at lunch and dinner time. And then you can't beat Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, and Pluto.
No, you can't. And you know what? Hollywood and Vine, I always forget about that place. Always. But I've eaten there probably 3 or 4 times, mostly breakfast, but it was really, really good. You know, my youngest kid is now 10, so she's beyond the Playhouse Disney folks, you know, and all that. But it's kind of a shame because that food was really good. And I think a lot of people overlook that. There's a lot of other places they're heading to, But the studios doesn't have that many dining options at the moment. Hopefully that expands over the next couple of years. But you're right. I think that people need to consider Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah, it's definitely become one of our favorites. And we have made it our goal to catch the characters at every season so we can have pictures with them in all the different outfits.
Oh, good tip. All right, we haven't mentioned Animal Kingdom once yet. You know, we're almost a half hour into the show. So did you guys spend any time over there?
Yeah, we did 2 days over at Animal Kingdom. One day we were real heavy into Wilderness Explorers. So I had my girls decked out in their Wilderness Explorer outfits. And we made sure we hit as many stops as we could all the way around. And it was so much fun.
So for those that haven't done that, just kind of walk our listeners through the mechanics of how that experience works. You know, it's a discovery kind of experience and an educational experience. But how does it work? Where do you go? Stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's just right across that first bridge where you first kind of come in and you see the tree. There's a little stand over on the right-hand side that says Wilderness Explorers. And they kind of do an introduction with your kids and hand them a booklet and a little badge that signifies that they are wilderness explorers. And then all the way through Animal Kingdom, there's about 20 different wilderness explorer stops. And then they have to fill out some questions or answer a question to the cast member that's there. And then they earn a badge in their book to kind of go along with that that learning experience. And some of them are really hands-on, and some of them you kind of wander away from the cast member and look for different things. One of them is in the boneyard, which is super cool. So you have to actually dig something up and find out what it is and take it to that cast member there.
That's so cool because experiential things are really what memories are made from. You know, when you have to find something or identify something or, you know, experience something to earn the validation, the badge, the sticker, what have you. So I'd imagine that that's one of their favorite souvenirs and probably, I would imagine, at their age, one of their favorite memories from the trip.
Yeah, it was definitely a highlight. And because we had 2 days at Animal Kingdom, and we actually had Flight of Passage fast passes for both, so we kind of felt some freedom to move around a little bit slower. We didn't have to spend so much time in Pandora. We got to kind of take it slow going around and hit all the Wilderness Explorer stops.
That's awesome. Yeah, not to be overlooked. Another thing that, you know, Animal Kingdom's all about Pandora these days, but there's a lot of other great opportunities and experiences around the park. So now you mentioned Pandora. So was this your first time there since it was open? Or what are your thoughts on Pandora for those who haven't been yet?
It wasn't our first time, but it's probably our favorite thing at the parks right now. The ride is incredible. It cannot be beat. It's just Flight of Passage. It's just gorgeous and thrilling and amazing. And we love Setuli Canteen. We think the food there is the best quick service
Yes. Of
anywhere in Disney World.
So I love that place. I agree with you there. I'm like, it's so sad that I'm so excited because I'm going down in just a couple weeks for just a quick little kind of private mission there. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is either a cheeseburger pot or a protein bowl, probably both because they're so good. And, you know, while you're there, you got to have everything because I won't be back until, the end of June. So what are your favorite things on the menu over there?
We do one of the like steak and rice bowls. That's usually what we get. And we actually ask for all three sauces. So we'll get them in cups instead of them putting it on the dish. We'll ask for all three sauces on the side and that's no extra charge. And then we kind of mix them together or kind of separate them in our bowl so we can try them all. And we like them all. So it's really cool to be able to have like three different varieties of food all in the same meal.
Another great tip. Love it today. We're all learning today. We love this. So as we wrap up, you mentioned that your father has some mobility issues. So how do you work in? Because it sounds like you guys are very active and on the go constantly. How did that work out on this trip for everybody to kind of get out there and do as much as you did?
Well, it's always a challenge. It kind of adds another dynamic of, that we have to deal with all the way through. But he hangs in there and he does his best. And he has some brain injuries as well. So it's really his happy place. We've been going our whole entire lives. And he has great memories of that when we were young before he had his brain injury. And so he just cannot wait to get back there. And for us, it makes us feel great because it kind of takes us back to where the person he was before his accident.
That is so awesome to hear. That's awesome because it is such a treasure place for so many. And when you can all be together, nothing beats family together and making memories and also recalling memories from trips gone by. So, man, I love hearing that because that, to me, again, that's what Walt Disney World's all about. So as we wrap up today, any kind of final memories, because you go often and I bet you know, you remember the trip was, this is that trip, you know, this happened, like, you know, this was the trip I did my first marathon. This was the trip that Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was, you know, new the first time I went. So what's the word going to be on this trip? Any special things that you'll kind of recall this trip by?
Yeah, definitely. And it's like super small in comparison to like the big stuff like Cinderella's Royal Table. But my 2-year-old has been afraid to meet Joy and Sadness probably the last 4 times we've gone. Inside Out is one of my favorite movies, so I so badly want a picture of my kids with Joy and Sadness. And every single time she's too afraid. So this time we like talked her up. We had them in little shirts that said today is a core memory. We were so excited. Talk her up the whole way through. We get up there and she finally does it.
Yes.
She goes up there and she is just perfect. She smiles for the picture. She hugs the characters. And then as we were leaving, Sadness didn't let her go. She kept like pulling her back into the area. And I caught some pictures of it with like Sadness reaching for her hand. And it's become one of my favorite Disney memories.
So how long did you cry after that moment?
Oh, I cry every time I look at the picture.
That's what it's all about. I'm telling you, you know, folks, it's so funny because you go to Walt Disney World through different times of your life. You know, you go down there when you're like a college kid and you can go 100 miles an hour and you don't care. You know, the only person you're worried about is yourself. And then you get married and you go in with your, you know, significant other. Then when you have kids, though, it is really special. I mean, you've realized that, you know, as much fun as it is for us as the parents, and we're Disney fans, we love the stuff. But what you just said is why we go. I mean, I don't think you get that until you really are a parent or you take a niece or a nephew, you know, some little kid that's a loved one to you. But you're right. I mean, that is the stuff that melts your heart. And that's the stuff that has you taking that credit card out to book the next trip, too.
Yeah, and she'll never remember it, but I will forever remember that. So when people say their kids are too little to go or I'm going to wait till they're older, like that explains why you shouldn't wait till they're older, because moments like that only happen when they're little.
That's so true. That's awesome. That's a great way to end because, oh, I can just picture it. So Caroline, thank you so much for carving out some time with us today and kicking off the week. This is a great way to start a Monday with a smile. So when's your next trip? I'm sure you have another one on the books. It sounds like you're one of those people that's always got to have the next one like me.
Yeah, we're actually not going till September. This is a long break for us, but we're not going till September and we'll be staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Ooh, good. So have you stayed there before?
We have not, but we ate at Sanaa this last trip and it sold us.
Oh my gosh, you're going to love Animal Kingdom Lodge. I always say like it's one of my, I say every resort's my favorite, but that is such a cool place. And your kids are the perfect age for Animal Kingdom Lodge. They're going to just be glued to the windows. Are you guys on a Savannah? Did you get one of those rooms?
We did. Yes, we got a Savannah view. And I think my husband is more excited than the kids about this one.
You're going to love it. Well, shoot me an email. We're going to have to talk about that because that's going to be a fun one. So thanks again for coming on the show. Love it. Great way to start the week.
Thanks.
Don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. 2 great books. We got The Wisdom of Walt, the original about Disneyland and Walt taking his experiences in animation and, you know, also leadership with those around him. And the author Jeff Barnes takes little checkpoints and helps us become better in our relationships with our coworkers, our family, our friends. And of course, the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, focused on Walt Disney World, especially Epcot, and how Walt took those dreams from Disneyland and had a bigger vision. And even though he didn't get to realize it, those around him did. So 2 great books for the Disney fan in your life. Check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And stay out of lines and have a great time on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with the great information with your premium subscription to touringplans.com. So check them out today for the cost of probably a cheeseburger pod and a protein bowl. You're set for 365 days over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got a great Facebook group over at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thanks so much for checking in. We sure appreciate that. I say that, but I really, really mean it. Thank you each and every time. We've done over 1,300 shows, and you guys are always there. So thank you for taking the time to download our podcast and be a part of our community. We sure are glad you are with us. So for Caroline, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.